I want to call your attention out to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. Read of an incident here that the Holy Spirit has seen fit to leave for us, so I know it's important. May it please the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to understand the meaning. It's one thing to read the Bible, it's another thing to understand what we read. I begin reading in the 35th verse. No, the 34th verse. Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to read a few verses here. And the Lord is speaking in the 34th verse and telling the people around him what's going to happen. And they shall mock him, referring to himself, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, as two of his apostles, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now, I'll tell you, that is a selfish request, as we'll see. Two apostles are asking the Lord to give them what they want. And he said unto them, verse 36, what would ye that I should do for you? He knew all the time what was in their heart, of course. And here's their request in verse 37. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit on, that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. We want a special place to sit on your right hand and on your left hand. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Can you, do you know what you're asking? You know not what you're asking. You're asking for places of honor. You cannot go through what I'm going to go through like I'm going to go through it, but really, can you drink of that cup? Not meaning a literal cup, but symbolically, that which lay before him. Can you drink of that cup? Can you be immersed in the afflictions that I will be? And more than likely, to an extent, they did, because they probably all died a martyr's death. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I'm baptized with all shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10, that's the other 10 apostles, when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And Jesus said unto them, to him, Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. There is a place here, and this is not where I'm going to hesitate, I hope. But did you notice it starts with servitude? Isn't that interesting? To be a leader in the church of God had to be a servant. And I was thinking the other day, and this just comes to mind, and I'll mention it. Notice how God in the Old Testament and in the New, we just read it here, how he looks upon his leaders. Notice what he said. He never said, Moses, my leader, which he was, but he said, Moses, my servant. When Moses died, the announcement from heaven was this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Not Moses, my leader. We lead, and I'm talking about as the church. We lead by serving. Much could be said about that. And then, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now here we see a great press or a crowd traveling along the way, and the Lord is teaching as he goes, and he's going on into Jericho now. And there, sitting by the side of the road, was a blind man. And he was begging. It's hard for us to understand the depth of what that kind of begging was. They didn't have the programs that we have today. They were dependent upon the pittance and maybe the alms of those that they didn't even know. And in this case, this man was so stripped of everything, he couldn't even see those that would be his benefactor. He couldn't look at them. All he could do was beg. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's verse 47. There is so much in that statement. Sometimes we read a number of times when it says, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth. Sometimes it was used to just identify his birthplace. But sometimes it was different. And here is a blind man. When he heard that Jesus was passing by, Jesus of Nazareth, I want you to notice now what he didn't say. when he cried out to him, he didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth, like many others did, identifying that he was where he was from. He didn't say that. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. There is so much depth in that phrase. Thou son of David. It would be interesting, and it is interesting to read in Matthew, the first chapter of the genealogy of our Lord, the human genealogy, is given in one place, another genealogy in Luke. But the son of David was the promised Messiah. He would sit upon his throne like David of old. And here is a blind man. He can't see. He couldn't even see the person of the Lord. I don't know if he ever saw anything or not. Some were born blind. Never to see a sunrise. Never to see a sunset or a flower. But somewhere this man, blind naturally, had insight that the leaders of the religion around him couldn't see. Didn't see. They just wanted to get rid of him out of their religion. But here's a man that cried out, thou son of David. He acknowledged that he was the Messiah. You ever wonder how he knew? How he knew that? Didn't say they told him here, Jesus, the son of David's passing by. Sometimes there is a belief that penetrates the soul, that confirms that the Lord Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one that walked this earth. As he walked that day along the way, have mercy on me. Some are asking to let us sit in the high place. Some are asking for selfish things. But this man is not asking for anything selfish. He's asking, notice what he asked for. He didn't say, help me, my blind eyes. He said, have mercy. And that would extend to giving him his sight. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Stop calling on this man. You're being a nuisance. These are my words, but you read that, you'll find that that's probably what is happening. They should hold his peace. But he cried the more. The more they tried to shut him up, the more he implored this man that was passing by. He cried the more, a great deal. He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't give up. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I want you to underline this in your mind, like I have underlined it in my Bible, these words in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Hold that thought. Jesus stood still. He was busy. He never wasted a moment's time. And he wasn't down here just on a tour. He came down here with a purpose. to glorify God. We can read this and magnify the law and make it honorable, the 10th chapter of Hebrews. He came to do that. But he came to save a people and die as a ransom for many, it says here. He was busy. But the cry of a blind beggar, helpless, was great enough reason for him to stop and to stand still. I just want to tell you this for your studying, if you'd like. This week I looked at a word, a term, really a phrase, that we all think about every day. I mean, some way or the other, we use the term. And I began to study on the word and the words passing on or passing by, passing over, passing down. There are so many words that things that this word describes. And yesterday up at the church in Bethel, we had the privilege of going up there. I tried to use at least three scriptures on that. And that shows how little we know about it all. But those are not the scriptures I'm interested in today. But after it was over, and we'd gone through the closing out of the service, Brother Curtis Owen, he usually picks up on things that's worth keeping. And he told me of an experience that he had years ago. He went to the Old Harmony Association up at Brownwood, Texas. And during the meeting, and this happened quite often back then, they had six or seven to join the church. And they went out to the river to baptize those after the association meeting had closed. And Brother Elder J.A. Rao, Sr., was there, and he hadn't preached during the meeting. And Elder Chambers, who at one time was a pastor here, asked Brother Rao to say a few words at the water's edge, which was customary then, the water's edge being the river, creek, or tank, or whatever. Brother Curtis said, Brother Rao preached about 10 minutes, and his text was, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. That's one of the terms that it's used. It means a journey. But this morning, I want to say a few words about Jesus stopping as he passed by. And that's the case before us this morning. He stopped and he stood and he stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Arise. Rise. And he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now the garment here is his coat or his tunic. The word says in the dictionary. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I do unto thee, knowing all the time, but it pleases the Father to hear his children express the things that they need. And it pleases the Father for his children to say thank you when a parent of a child when a parent is able to give them something they need. And we've all done it. But isn't it wonderful to hear the child say, thank you for that? It pleases the Father that when He blesses us with things that we can't find anywhere else like this one, it pleases Him when we come and say, thank you. I personally often find myself asking for more and more and more. And I thought, oh, I didn't thank Him for what He gave me already. He knows our needs, but it pleases Him for us to express it. Not so He can become acquainted with it. We cannot acquaint God with one thing. He knows all things, but it pleases Him for the expression of our heart to give Him thanks. What would I do unto thee? The blind man said unto Him, Lord. Isn't that a wonderful term, appellation to give Him? Lord. There's nothing said that He had ever personally met Him along the way. He was a blind man. But now He's talking to Him. Because the Lord stood still. It was the Lord who condescended to stop and talk to the blind man. And every time you've ever whispered a prayer, thought a prayer, prayed to the Father, it is because He condescended to stop and talk to us. He doesn't owe it to us. And that's what happened here. He came and He stood still and He listened. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And so Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately he received his sight. And notice it said, and followed Jesus in the way. I'd never thought about it to this extent, but it would seem that the first thing perhaps that he had ever seen when he opened his eyes, he saw the Lord Jesus. When we see ourselves bowed down by the cares of sin and woe and misery of this world, and the Lord opens our eyes, as the prophet prayed of old, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. That shows it's more than just reading the Bible. It's looking into the depth of it by the intervention of His Spirit, and He opens our eyes, and we behold wondrous things out of His law. And so it was that He opened His eyes and He saw the Lord. Sometimes we open our eyes in life and see the way that the Lord has led us through the difficulties of life. And we see the only answer in that is it's by His grace. Thus far the Lord has led me on. Grace is amazing, isn't it? It has led us on. And aren't you glad that our blessed Lord stops along the way to hear the prayers of sinners? Let me read some more scripture here where we find him stopping by the wayside. I'll call your attention to the 18th chapter of the book of Luke and read just a little bit. Verse 35, I'll begin. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside. Hearing the multitude, he asked what it meant. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. We have the account here in this, but really to go from that now to the 19th chapter. And as he passes by, 19 verse 1, he entered, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now he entered and now he's passing through. 19:1, verse 2 and reading on. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now this was a little man. But that didn't mean he was small in his holdings and his job, in his tax collecting and all of those things. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to see him, who he was. And could not for the press. And the press usually means, not every time, but it means the throng of people. Means a great crowd. And the reason I say not every time, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ, of God in Christ. That wasn't because of the crowd. It means Paul said, I'm just pressing on. You and I have to press on. We have to endure and press on. But here he couldn't see the Lord for the press, for the great throng of people. There was a crowd, and he couldn't see the Lord because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You know, sometimes it takes some effort to see him. And I'm not talking about with our visible eyes. I'm talking about to see him in a song that we sing. To see him and feel him in a prayer. To see him and feel him in a sermon. It's not just running to church, sitting down, getting blessed and leaving. It's an effort to see him. Part of that effort is to pray for the service, before we ever get here. Again, it's not just I'm going to go in, I'm going to get blessed, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to be about my business. Remember the blind man? When he was so blessed, he followed him in the way. I just want you to think about this. The other day, I began to study about this way. And the way. It's a specific way. Paul persecuted those that he would find in this way. There is a way that's identifiable in this world today, but we have to see it in light of the Scripture, not like the world describes their way. And so, this man, he wanted to see the Lord. So he made some arrangements. He went ahead and he found him a spot. Here's what he did. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. I've got a good view of him now. I'm above all of this throng and the press. I'm going to be able to see him and get a good view of him up in this tree. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, For today I must abide at thy house. This is not just a little story for the pre-kindergartners. This is an account. See, Zacchaeus, a mighty man in the community, small, and he wants to see the Master. Watch him climb that sycamore tree. And watch the throng passing by, gathered around the Lord, some asking him questions, no doubt, for not the right reason, trying to catch a word out of his mouth as it was said. And as he passes by, he knew that man up in that tree. He knew all about that man. He knew him before the foundation of the world. He knew he was in that tree. But I want you to know when he came to the place. It doesn't say explicitly here, but can't you see him stopping? Standing still and looking up and his eyes focused on Zacchaeus. I wonder how, think about it, I just wonder how Zacchaeus felt. He is looking at me. And then Zacchaeus come on down. When he came to the place, I'd never thought about this before, but it's sure a good time to think about it. We all occupy our place. Sometimes we're in a place that we want to be where we can see him. And that's when he stops. Sometimes we're in a place when we realize altogether that we need him in our life. And that's where he finds us. And that's where he stops. And that's where he stands still. And when we go through the shadows of life, all of the hope about us obliterated. We can't see anything. No way out. You may not ever have been there, but you probably have. It may be an emotional place that you've been in. When the light of any hope, no glimmer is there. But somewhere in the shadows of life, out of the darkness, there extends a nail-scarred hand in that place. We live in a time when things are moving so swiftly at the neck-break speed. Our nation is just moving like lightning to bankruptcy. Already is. We're just living on borrowed money. And everybody has an answer and nobody does anything. But I'll tell you, the child of God must hold on to hope and feel in the challenges of the moment and the hour the touch of a nail-scarred hand. He stopped and he stood still when he came to the place. You know, the Lord despises pride. That's one of the six things that he despises. God hates, it says. Proverbs 6, I believe. One is a proud look. A proud look is not good. Because a proud look is conveying a proud heart. And I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart that when the Savior looked at this little man up in that tree, his heart melted even more when he heard the words, "Come on down, Zacchaeus." What a wonderful thing. Who is speaking? It's the Lord of glory. Come on down. Because I'm going to go home with you. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is when in our homes we can speak of the Master. So, I want you to notice what it is. First, let's notice what he didn't do. He didn't say, well, I'm thinking about it. I've got some arrangements to make. When I get them all fixed, I'm going to follow you. No, that wasn't what it was. When he said that to him, he made haste. That meant he came on down that out of that tree probably a whole lot faster than he went up. Now watch this. Here's the throne is still here. The throne is still here. And of all the people he went home with that day was a little man up the tree. He didn't go home with the Pharisee. But now I want you looking at this just a little more. Now here we've got Zacchaeus down on the ground. He's right down here in amongst them, so to speak. Wonder how he felt when the Lord said, come on, let's go. Let's go over to your house. I'm going to be your visitor today. I'm going to go over and spend some time with you. I just wonder how Zacchaeus felt when he looked at all those big people, all those rabbis and all those people, and wonder what he thought when it was going through his mind. He's going home with me. And I always remember this when I think about this, and think about it very much. A preacher I heard in Alabama one day, he said, that little man felt he was taller than anybody else there. He said, he's going home with me. What a blessing it is when he dwells with us in a home. He passes by and he stops. One day, in the 11th chapter of John, I won't think I'll go read much there, maybe not. One day there was some people gathered at the cemetery. There was those people that you know and appreciate and love and admire named Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. And we'd read over there, we'd find Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But he didn't love them one iota more than he loves you, because there's no variance in his love. And Lazarus died. So they sent for the master. And they said, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. Well, don't you think that hadn't changed today, had it? For the people of faith and people that call upon him, when our loved one gets sick, we go to the master and say, Lord, my loved one is sick. Help. They sent for him, and you know he lingered. He didn't go for 3 days, I believe, from the time he got the word. Maybe 4 from the time he got the word. But nevertheless, he didn't go when they said, come on. And the Lord doesn't always just stop by when we ask. He comes at his time. We may think he's late in coming and that his chariot wheels are tarrying and wonder, why didn't he get me out of this? Why didn't he intervene? Why didn't he do this? But just remember this, and this is not just a cliche. Remember this. The Lord is never late. And he is never early. He knows when to come and to stop. And finally, when he got ready, he went to the cemetery. They were standing around the tomb of a dead brother, weeping. And that verse 32 there, the shortest verse in the Bible, said Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Can you just see this? out at the cemetery, and the brother's been dead 4 days, and the tears running down Jesus' face. Not because he's helpless. Not because he feels sorry for Lazarus. Lazarus' soul is in heaven. He's not weeping because of Lazarus. He's weeping because of Mary and Martha. And he just said the word, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth wrapped in the grave clothes. Imagine that. Out of a grave that was held a putrefying corpse. And now he comes out and is wrapped. And he said, loose him and let him go. When the Lord came back from the grave, his grave clothes were all over here and the napkin over here that was on his head. He didn't have to have somebody unwrap him. But that's a beautiful picture of the gospel. The Lord brings us back from the dead in trespasses and sin, and the gospel, if it's the right kind of gospel, will just unroll the grave clothes. Oh, now I see. I see that it's by grace. It wasn't because I got up out of the grave by myself. He stopped by the cemetery. And then, there's so much of that, but over in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, you'll find the children of Israel in bondage. There was a man by the name of Daniel. There was three called Hebrew children, if I can get their names right. They were Azariah, Mishael, and somebody else. But the king changed their name. I'll think of that other name in a minute. The king changed their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was the joy of kings to change the names of the subject. The Lord gives you a new name too, but nevertheless, he named them after their gods. And he built him a big god. He built him a god, and I believe it was 60 cubits high and 30 across or something. It was a horrible looking thing. And he said, now let everybody with the same language worship that thing. I wish I had time to get into some things this morning about the God, the current God that we're all supposed to worship today. But I don't. But nevertheless, they said, we're not going to eat the king's meat. We're not going to drink the king's wine. They made their minds up. They weren't going to turn against their God. And you and I have to make our mind up that we're not going to bow down to the God of political correctness today and say, oh, well, it's all right. You know, the Supreme Court authorized it, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay to undermine the sanctity of marriage or life. So they said, we're not going to eat your meat. We're not going to drink your wine. Every time somebody says, well, it's okay, the Supreme Court authorized it, that's just taking another sip of wine, isn't it? Getting drunk on nothing. So they put him in the fiery furnace. He brought his band out. Now when you hear the sound of all these things, the trumpet and the sackbut and all of that and the flute, then you bow down and worship my God. They said, we're not going to do it. Said, if you don't, the same hour, there's no recourse, the same hour, you're going to be put into a burning, fiery furnace. Now, that's one thing. The furnace is one thing, but when it's got a fire going, it's another. That's like Daniel's lion's den. It's one thing to be in a lion's den, it's another thing to be in a den of lions, that's where he was, but nevertheless, they threw him in there. And those people that threw him in there, the fire burned them up. And old Nebuchadnezzar had a hard time sleeping. And he was worried about it. And he said, did we not put in three bound? Yea, three bound. He said, I looked in there. These are my words. I could get it exact, but these are my words. I looked in there, and behold, I see four men. Not bound, but they're loosed. And they're walking around in there. And I want you to notice something. He said, and this was an old heathen man, but he said, one is like unto the Son of God. Wonder how he found that out. And what is he doing? He's walking in there with the children of, walking in the fire. He said, they're in the flames, and not even any smoke come up on their hosen, nor their clothes. I'll tell you, he passed by the furnace, and he walked in the furnace. And I just want to leave you with this. What they lost. Sometimes for the sake of a lot of things we say, well, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose my pull. I don't want to lose my influence. If I join that little church, you know, I can get a lot more somewhere with a bigger church. Let me tell you what he lost. What they lost. They lost their bonds. Wouldn't you rather walk in the fire free with the Lord than to eat the king's meat, drink his wine, and walk around bound and bound to that system? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, just like God passed by the rock where Moses was. He put his hand over it and showed Moses just a little of his glory. The reason you and I see a little of his glory this morning is because he has put us in the rock. And sometimes he removes his hand a little. Shows us how blessed we are. Brother Glenn.